what to do. The CDC has recommended that everyone, including fully vaccinated individuals, wear a mask in public indoor settings in counties with substantial or high transmission. That is Emergency Directive 045. The state of Nevada is automatically, which I think was stupid. I got to be honest with you. I think it was a stupid thing for the state to do and for Sisolak to do, to automatically adopt the latest CDC guidance related to masks as a statewide requirement. I think that was a big, big mistake. School districts are different. Gaming is different. But by and large, the state is going along with the CDC requirements. And I think that's unfortunate. We'll talk more about that. Coming up, really excited to have Scott Hammond on. He is a state senator, Nevada District 18. And we'll talk about what's going on pandemic-wise. We'll do that and a whole lot more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us. It is a Tuesday, October 5th. Halloween is just around the corner, folks. In my neighborhood, stuff is starting to appear. Ghosts and goblins. Whoa. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
There's a reason approved certified pre-owned Jaguars enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Jaguars. Hi, this is Ray DiNardi. With the 100,000-mile approved certified warranty, pre-owned Jaguars still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on many more exhilarating drives. Come find yours today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
Hi, I'm State Senator Scott Hammond. These are difficult times for all of us, a time set apart. But our Las Vegas community has always come together when we need to. We all have a part to play, and it is heartwarming to know that our community is strong enough to fight this. Many of you also have questions or concerns, which is why I have compiled as much information and resources on my website as possible. Please visit HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. That's HammondForNevada.com/COVID-19. Paid for by Friends of Scott Hammond.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Debate continues in the Senate over how to avoid a government default by raising the debt limit.
Senator Tom Cotton tells the Salem Radio Network the Treasury says October 8th is the so-called X date for default.
Most private analyses push it back at least 4-5 days. Some push it back all the way to the end of October.
Cotton says, in fact, the majority party can use the reconciliation process any time to extend the debt limit.
The Democrats, though, should not be toying with this matter when they have the means at hand.
Cotton says Democrats are trying to avoid reconciliation on the debt limit because that would prevent them from using the process to pass other controversial legislation. Bob Agner reporting.
A Facebook whistleblower appeared before a Senate committee detailing the social media company's obsession with profits at the expense of its users. Former Facebook data scientist Francis Haugen says Facebook chooses to grow at all costs.
This is not simply a matter of certain social media users being angry or unstable, or about one side being radicalized against the other. It is about Facebook choosing to grow at all costs, becoming an almost trillion-dollar company by buying its profits with our safety.
She says Facebook's products harm children, stoke division, and weaken our democracy. The pipeline that leaked tens of thousands of gallons of oil into the water off Southern California may have been caught by a ship's anchor and torn as it was apparently dragged along the ocean floor. That's according to authorities investigating the spill. Federal transportation investigators say preliminary reports suggest the failure may have been caused by an anchor that hooked the pipeline and caused a partial tear. The break in the line occurred about 5 miles offshore at a depth of about 98 feet beneath the surface. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 311 points, the Nasdaq rose 178, the S&P advanced 45. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
The United States has killed Osama bin Laden.
Hours after that announcement, the White House leaked that it was SEAL Team 6 that carried out the operation. Al-Qaeda placed bounties on the heads of all Navy SEALs. Then just 3 months later, a U.S. Army helicopter carrying many from SEAL Team 6 and others.
Anybody out there, we have a fallen angel. A fallen angel. Roger.
Fallen Angel, Extortion 1-7. The story most Americans don't know. Watch exclusively at SalemNow.com.
Hello, I'm Fred Simon, candidate for Nevada governor. You and I both know that there is something seriously wrong with the way Nevada has been managed, especially during the COVID crisis. Our current governor closed our businesses, our schools, our places of worship, and even silenced objecting voices. He prevented the use of safe and low-cost therapeutic drugs. How can I know this? I am an experienced trauma surgeon living in Douglas County. I am an MD, a medical doctor. I understand the importance of reaching medical decisions based solely on an unbiased and ethical evaluation of all data. So please, tell your friends and neighbors that we'll have to make our own hope. I will end the damaging economic policies and extreme control tactics enforced by irresponsible politicians. Learn more anytime and join us at simonforgovnv.com. Thank you.
Paid for by Simon for Nevada.
It's 4:04. This is your KMTQ News Flash, powered by DeCastro Verde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. Clark County's COVID-19 test positivity rate has dropped into the moderate category for the first time since the state mask mandate was announced in July. The 14-day rate has dropped one full percentage point to 6.9. Nevada's two-week rolling rate declined 1.3 percentage points to 8.8%. That's down from a recent high of 16.4% back in the middle of August. As of yesterday, 54.3% of eligible Nevadans have been fully vaccinated. Sportsbooks may be smiling with the start of the NFL season with the underdogs winning in the first 4 weeks of action, but they weren't very happy with the San Francisco Giants and the way they entered their baseball season, because in April, the Giants were 60-1 long shots to win the division, as many expected the Dodgers to overtake their longtime rivals. That didn't happen, so the books took six-figure losses when San Francisco won the division with a franchise record 107 wins. The Giants are now going to be playing the winner of tomorrow's National League wildcard game. That's between the Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League Division Series.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty.
Now watch for a crash in northeastern Clark County. Interstate 15 northbound at mile marker 77. The right lane is blocked up there. Also look for some heavy volumes on the Beltway. 215 eastbound at Gillespie. Lane restrictions, that's causing major delays downtown, 515 eastbound at Main Street.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are, well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes, he now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when follow through, the exact opposite.
Check it out!
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. You think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one. Time is running out. Number two. Time is running out. Number three.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
I love Tuesdays because I get to talk to some of my favorite people. Scott Hammond is a state senator, Nevada District 18. He is joining us now. And Scott, first of all, thanks for joining us. Always good to have you on. You have a good weekend?
I did. You are the nicest person in the whole world. You don't have to say those nice things about me, but for me, it is a thrill every week to be able to talk with you and just kind of talk about some of the big issues of the day. But and you always talk about my weekend. I tell you what, I'm a boring guy. You know, I'm a family man who just has family stuff to attend to. I got daughters who love their volleyball and love to be with their friends. We did have, I'll tell you this, a little bit of excitement. We had homecoming, and my 16-year-old went out for the first time on a date. That was really weird.
Yeah, especially with Dad with the shotgun on the front stoop.
Yeah. No, I'm not that kind of guy. But I tell you what, I liked her date. He was a nice guy. I've known him for a while. But it was just interesting to see my daughter out with her friends on a date, and it was weird. But I think a lot of people out there can relate to that. They can totally relate to the idea of having a daughter out for the first time.
Yeah, it's scary, scary, scary stuff. And again, I had a boy, so it was a little easier on me. Yeah, you have a girl, it's a little more, I think it's just a little more difficult. And with all the drama and stuff that surrounds it, oh, gosh.
Oh, she, my other daughter, my freshman daughter, she went out with just friends to her homecoming. But it was a night full of homecoming stuff, and then a whole day of mom debriefing them and trying to figure out what happened during the night. So that was Saturday and Sunday, pretty much all of it.
Oh, my God. I want to get you to the news of the day, and a lot of people are asking the question, Afghan refugees, the early estimates were that we were going to have 150 families that were going to relocate to Nevada. 50 of those would be in southern Nevada. 100 would be in northern Nevada. What are we learning about these people, and who's going to take care of them, by the way?
Well, yeah, first of all, I appreciate you bringing this up, because I think it, for me, it's near and dear to me, because you know, it's different. First of all, I know a lot of people want to lump immigration all together, and immigration—it's a big issue, and it covers a lot of different little stuff. This is a whole lot different. The Afghan refugees. This is different from what we're seeing at the southern border, right? This is the reason why I say it's different is because these are folks that were living in Afghanistan who were trying to set up their country in a democratic fashion. They wanted to see stability. They wanted to see a different Afghanistan. They helped our military troops, men and women over there, overseas. These were people who were trying to train teachers, train doctors, get their country up and running. It didn't work for them, and their country fell apart, and they were and still are in peril. I mean, these are folks that I felt like we needed to get them out of their country to save their lives. And so I'm excited for the opportunities that we here in Nevada, that we, the people in Nevada, have to try and help those folks out. Again, I don't think that these are folks that really, really, really wanted to leave their country. I think they really wanted to stay there. They wanted to be there, and they wanted to be a part of something new and democratic, and it just didn't work for them. And so now they're here. I hope that we open our arms up. I hope we bring them in, and I hope we try to give them the best life possible. Eventually, who knows, maybe down the road, some of their children will be able to return back to Afghanistan and change that country. That would be, I'm sure, a hope and a dream and a desire that they have. But meanwhile, we have an opportunity to bring them here. And, you know, for me, I try to do as much as I possibly can to help them assimilate into this new country and to make them feel welcomed.
Is there anything the state can do or even the federal government can do to help these people get established? Or is this going to be something that's going to be left to the charities, to the NGOs, the non-governmental organizations?
I think right now it's mostly in the hands of the NGOs. I believe that the Catholic Charities or some part of Catholic Charities is taking care of the 150 that we have coming here. I put a phone call in to see what I can do to help out, what kind of resources that they may need, because I tend to know a few people, and those people do have resources. So I've been trying to get in contact with them and find out. And I might just make that one of my teletown halls. I know that I'd like to talk to you about them later on in the program, but, you know, there's lots of things that we can do. It's about making sure we know what resources that they need, that they're in need of. And so I'll certainly put myself on point in case I can do some good and find out what they need and pass it along to folks out there who are willing to help out. Personally, I like it when people help out. Government's nice, but, you know, when people help out, then you know real change is coming.
Yeah, and I hope, you know, again, that 150 number was floated, what, a month ago. Are you hearing anything different, or is 150 families about what you're hearing?
That's what I'm hearing. That was, yeah, you were going to say about a month ago. I'd say about 3 weeks ago. That's the number I heard, and I haven't heard it change at all. Like I said, I've put phone calls into some of the folks, some of these NGOs that you're talking about. I haven't heard back from them yet, but I don't think that number's changed much. That's, you know, if we get any more, we're definitely going to need folks to help out.
Yeah, we really will. And again, because you're dealing with the State Department, the government, things are subject to change. I want to ask you about something that I saw, and it was John Ralston, who is, well, let's face it, he doesn't believe the way you and I believe. But he's been saying the next gubernatorial election should be a referendum on how the governor handled COVID. If that is indeed true, what do you think he did right? What did he do wrong? And if you were, you being an educator from way back, what kind of grade would you give him relative to dealing with a pandemic?
Well, I like the way you put it in those terms, because as a former educator, you can't help but sort of put you know, look through that lens and put people in that sort of category. You want to grade everything that you see out there. And, you know, I don't think it's any secret. I've said this before several times in your program, because you've had me on several times, especially during the pandemic. And right from the very beginning, you can tell a lot about a person as far as how they handle a crisis, right? You know, a lot of people ask me why I got involved in politics, and I did, and that was right around that time when we had the housing crisis. We're in a bad place in Nevada back in 2010 still. And I got myself involved because I wanted to see if I could, you know, help out when things were bad. And so you kind of want to measure yourself to the times that you're in. And you want to measure yourself to see if you measure up to those times. And so you kind of, you know, not only yourself, but other people. And when I first observed what happened during the you know, first couple weeks of the crisis, I don't think he handled it very well. You know, that's one of the things I've told, you know, you and I have said this several times. I look at the lack of communication, and that to me is like the biggest thing. If you're going to go through a crisis, you've got to make sure we all go through together. We all know what's going on. We all know probably where we need to put our resources. We all know, you know, what choices we have and then why we made one choice as opposed to another. And that's not what we were getting. You know, and I always go back to, I remember vividly, my wife is a teacher, you know, and at first, they were told that on Wednesday of that week, they were going to shut schools down. So basically, they had 2 days to get everything in order, find out how they can get supplies to their students, get tablets or any kind of electronics for their students, make sure that they had something that would allow them to do something at home, be productive at home, keep progressing as an educated child, keep progressing. And that didn't happen because he shut it down on Sunday without really telling anybody. That, to me, is not very well communicated. And so this happened over and over again. When things were happening, he didn't tell people in industry. He didn't talk to people in his own party. He didn't talk to people outside of his party. He didn't talk to legislators as often as I thought he should. We joked about it because it became, you know, somewhat farcical, right? Every week, have you heard from him, Senator Hammond? Nope, haven't heard from him. And it went on for months. So if I were giving a guy, look, and of course, I can compare him now because time has gone by, and I saw what happened in Ohio. Like him, hate him, whatever, but the governor of Ohio, DeWine, I believe, he was communicating on a daily basis. People knew what time he was going to come on. He brought his wife on. They talked a little bit about what to do at home. He tried to calm people. He tried to, you know, calm their fears, talk them through things. He just was all about communicating. Meanwhile, we had, you know, our governor here, when somebody would ask him a question, a pertinent question, right? Something about, here's the decision you made. Can you walk us back and tell us how you arrived at the decision? People got angry responses from him. And we're saving lives. We're doing everything we can to save lives. And I figure every decision is made and based on the thought that we should be saving lives. But what what he communicated was he was angry about people asking him questions and don't dare question my motives, just, you know, the results, that kind of thing. And that to me was, I'd give him a D minus. That's what I would give him, a D minus.
Let me just ask you though. You know, there's the state, and then there's the school district. The way the district handled the pandemic, how would you grade them?
I'm going to be unkind. A D plus at the very best, a D plus. And I say that because I know a lot of teachers were trying their hardest, but they kept coming up with policies that didn't make any sense. Get on your computer, but you don't have to be on your video. So teachers were talking to blank screens for hours, not even knowing if students were there. Just really not prepared because nobody progressed. I mean, you saw the scores that are coming back now, and believe me, I don't believe that the end-all be-all is test scores, but these test scores that they just took, they reflect a lack of any real progress in our students' education. And so for that, I mean, I know these were difficult times and people were doing the best they could, but the school district did not do our kids a lot of favors.
I'm curious, now that we've got some a little bit of experience, a couple of months in this school year, have they righted the ship? I mean, are things back to some form of normal?
No. Some form, I guess. You know, my daughter's going to school on a regular basis. So I got two daughters in a charter school and one daughter in public, regular brick-and-mortar school. And they're going. But again, you can see that the school board is making some really interesting changes, right? I think the other day they decided that homework was not going to be allowed. They're looking at tests. They're looking at grades. They're trying to forgive as much as possible, which, I get it. We went through a pandemic. We're going through a pandemic. We're going through a crisis. Please explain, how does not giving homework help out our students? How does that? Because I would think that you would trust the teachers, as they keep telling us that they trust their teachers, and the teachers are the most pivotal point or the pivotal piece of your child's education. Don't you trust the teachers to know their students and know whether or not to give homework or not give homework, or where, when to push the students or not push them? And that's my concern, is that everybody's all about not pushing anybody right now. And, I don't think that, again, one size fits all. I don't think that a teacher should just universally tell everybody no homework. Some students are going to need to be pushed. Some of them need to be pushed a little bit, some of them a lot. But they need that teacher to have the autonomy to think on their own. And I worry about some of the policies they're putting out there right now.
I'm just curious. For instance, I think you and I had this discussion during spring break, that I was aghast that they would send everybody to Cancun and spring break and trips and things like that, when we had kids that had lost a year and a half of good, sound, quality education in a district that struggles. And I would ask the same question now. You mean now's the time to not give homework? I mean,
exactly. Then,
if you're going to make up the ground that you've lost over a year and a half, I would think homework might help. Don't know, but
that's where a good teacher will come in and come into play. They'll know. I mean, the teachers out there are a lot of good teachers, and they evaluate students on a day to day basis. They don't wait around to be tested on these high stakes standardized tests. They're evaluating those students on a day-to-day basis, and you got to give them that ability to make those decisions.
More coming up with Scott Hammond, State Senator, District 18. We're going to talk about the infrastructure bill that is floating around in Congress. It's stalled out, and some say it's dead on arrival, but we're going to find out what's in it for Nevada. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
Blend of breaking news, interesting views, and informative interviews. The Jim Bohannon Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy, known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
There's a reason certified pre-owned Land Rovers enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Land Rovers. With 100,000 mile and up to 7 years coverage, certified pre-owned Land Rovers still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on your next adventure. Come find your certified pre-owned vehicle today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas at our new location, 6425 Roy Horn Way on the south side of the 215, just west of Jones.
I'm Mark Hutchison, founding partner of the law firm of Hutchison & Steffen. We're the Nevada law firm focused on helping businesses do business, especially when governmental obstacles get in the way. As someone who has been heavily involved with state government for many years, I know how government works and doesn't work for business. With so many rules, procedures, and regulations, Nevada businesses are almost certain to become entangled with government at some point. Bottom line, if your business gets caught up in the quagmire of a dispute with government, you can count on Hutchison & Steffen to help you navigate the rules, procedures, and regulations of federal, state, county, or city government. When you have a dispute with the government, we are the go-to firm for Nevada businesses. Whether it's facing the prospect of a proceeding before a board, commission, or agency, or finding yourself in court with the government on the other side, our team will be on your side. Call Hutchison & Steffen, 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com. That's 702-385-2500, or visit hutchlegal.com.
Guys and gals, by now you know there are non-invasive and minimally invasive medical solutions to hair restoration without side effects, right?
No.
Okay, so you don't know. Doctors of Hair use only clinically proven treatments, from platelet-rich plasma hair therapy that uses your own platelets to stimulate stem cells deep in your hair follicle to halt hair loss and regrow hair, to the FDA-cleared clinical hair restoration laser that's proven to regrow hair, to neograft hair transplants that offer discreet, natural-looking results in a week or less with no linear scarring. All of these services are administered by Doctors of Hair caring medical professionals, experts at understanding how devastating hair loss can be at any age. Treatments work for both men and women wanting a natural, thicker head of hair without side effects.
Doctors of Hair. Call now. 702-751-0086. That's 702-751-0086. Or online at doctorsofhair.com.
Doctors of Hair. Now you know.
Hey, Kevin Wall here from my friends at Blue Sky Insurance. Did you know that Medicare open enrollment runs now through December 7th? There are big changes coming in 2022, including to Medicare Advantage, drug plans, and local medical networks and providers. That's why you need to reach out to Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance. Even if you've already enrolled, you need to know about these big changes coming in 2022. If your doctor has moved, retired, or you just feel out of sync with your present doctor, there are several new medical groups that are serving Las Vegas. And for you veterans, there are plans specifically designed to complement the care you receive from the VA. You don't have to drop one or the other. Your service to our country has earned you both. You can even pre-schedule your October review of your Medicare coverage. Just call Steve and Amy Miller at Blue Sky Insurance. That's 702-410-8020. That's 702-410-8020. One more time slowly, 702-410-8020. That's Blue Sky Insurance. And tell them Kevin Wall sent you.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, this is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Always good to have Scott Hammond on, State Senator, Nevada District 18. You know, we've been talking a lot about education. Do you think we're getting closer to true school choice for parents, that their kids aren't going to be stuck in substandard schools, and that they're going to let the money follow the child? Are we any closer to that after the last couple of sessions?
Absolutely. I think we're closer to that than we are further away. I think we're getting closer to that because I think parents want to have more of a say. When you keep hearing more and more politicians saying out loud, not just themselves, no, parents shouldn't have a choice in the curriculum, it should be up to the schools. That's when you know you've got a disconnect, and people are feeling that. And so that's driving more and more people to lots of different forms of school choice.
I'm curious, as you